This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now look, y'all, it is crazy outside. There's all kinds of stuff going on. If you are working a 9-to-5, you're probably stressed out about keeping your 9-to-5. If you don't have a 9-to-5, you're probably in the middle of trying to get a new 9-to-5. Or maybe you made the crazy leap to be a full-time entrepreneur like me. You got the world on fire all around you, middle of election year. A lot of stuff going on. It's absolutely nuts, right? It's nuts outside. And I could definitely see, let's speak for me. Look, for me, I know I be going to therapy on a regular basis. I believe in therapy, all right? Hashtag black folks need therapy. Hashtag we all need therapy. We all need it. And for me, I can say if it wasn't for therapy being like an ongoing maintenance tool in my toolkit to help me stay level and help me realize that I'm okay, everything around me is okay, here's what I can control, that has been critical for me. And I would hope that if you have thought about therapy, or if you haven't thought about therapy, shoot, let's say you're like, I ain't got time for therapy, I'm too busy trying to make sure that these plates keep on spinning, I hope that you check out BetterHelp. It's entirely online. It's completely convenient, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, keyword licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge, which is incredible. It's very challenging to move around and find the right therapist for you. The fact that BetterHelp is providing that as just part of your experience is incredible. So find your support, get the help you need with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/corp today to get 10% off your first month. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/corp, CORP. What's up, y'all? It's Zach with Living Corporate. Look, Living Corporate is a digital media network, right? Not just a single podcast. Okay, hear me again. I said a digital media network, not just a single podcast. So when I say digital media network, what does that mean? Digital media network means that we're creating all sorts of different types of media. All sorts of different types of media. Podcasts, vodcasts, blogs, right? Like talk chat spaces, you know what I mean? Social media content. Right, threads, things of that nature, all types of content. And what is that network? What is this content all meant to do? It's meant to center and amplify black and brown people at work. Center and amplify black and brown people at work. So often in this whole DEI space, or whatever you want to call it, DEI, IED, JEI, you know what I'm saying? The RZA, Wu-Tang, whatever you calling it, right? Shout out to Wu-Tang forever. But whatever you calling it, there's this common thread of centering of the most overrepresented, right? So what am I really trying to say? A lot of this DEI work centers white people and white feelings. That's really what this space has devolved into, or maybe it always was. I mean, honestly, we've talked about that ad nauseum for the past several years. But the point is that Living Corporate exists to center and amplify the marginalized voices, black and brown, queer, black and brown disabled, black and brown women, black and brown trans, black and brown non-binary, black and brown first gen, black and brown people at work. That's what we do. And we interview executives, elected officials, activists, artists, influencers, the list goes on and on and on. And we're always, always, always bringing it back to the experiences of the most marginalized. And we're speaking truth to power by challenging the very systems that exist and continue to persist to benefit everybody but black and brown people at work. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we do. We're not really here to like coddle or pat big corporations on the back that make billions of dollars every year. We're here to really have authentic, real conversations in a corporate world. Okay? That's what we're trying to do. And that's what we're not trying to do. That's what we're doing. Shout out to the Living Corporate team. I'm so excited about this conversation you're about to hear. See you soon. Living Corporate is brought to you by Rosetta Stone, the most trusted language learning program. It's incredible. Okay, so first off, if you didn't know, Rosetta Stone is a trusted expert for over 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. They have fast language acquisition, meaning you're actually going to pick up the language because it's going to provide an immersive experience for you through their program. Speech recognition gives you a trainer for your accent. Convenient, right? You can use it on your computer. You can use it on your phone. incredible value. Lifetime membership has all languages for any and all trips or language needs in life. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. That's a steal, y'all. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a limited time, Living Corporate listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Sharon Bergman, how are you doing?
I am doing so well and absolutely overjoyed to be having this conversation with you, Zach.
You know, I want to start by saying that, you know, there are a ton of workplace personality type tools.
And, you know, and more every day.
I think the one that people love really leaning against is Myers-Briggs, right? But there's tons. I recall back when, and I'm gonna shout her out because she was a phenomenal mentor, sponsor to me, Carmen Alston.
Yes.
So Carmen was very, very insistent that I become Berkman certified, and this was almost a decade ago when I pursued when I got my Berkman certification. And I mean, I still got our picture, Sharon. I got everything of my little certificate. And so I think what I want to do is I want to start by getting your perspective on explain this landscape of workplace personality, because that's a huge industry.
And then it is.
And then two, talk a little bit about Berkman and how maybe y'all are different.
I'd be happy to. Well, one of the things that is notable for us is that Berkman Method has been around for 71 years. We actually celebrated last year more than seven decades. And I would say to anybody that the reason I believe we stand out is different, even though there are now hundreds of thousands of other assessments out there that look at personality, and they're not wrong. But what makes Berkman special and unique in the field is that is an insight that my father had years ago. And that is that when you want to understand people, you've got to go to relationships. And if you want to really understand an individual, you need to look at these multiple layers. In other words, how do I perceive myself? How do I perceive other people? And also, what energizes me in terms of my interests? Because all three of those are really important. Myers-Briggs, DISC, and many of the well-known assessments, they do a fine job of giving you what Berkman would call our usual behavior. In other words, that's how we see ourselves and describe ourselves. That's how we tend to show up. But TV thinks it, but wait, there's more. Right. There's so much more complexity though to human beings. No one is 100% introvert or 100% extrovert. And as we know, the more we look at human nature, the more we see its nuances and complexity. So Berkman would say, okay, if a typical assessment tells you, for example, if you look at a tree, what kind of tree is it? You know, walk up and you see it above ground, you see, oh, it's an oak or a palm or a pine. But what Berkman also gives you is not just a type or a description of what shows up. We go deeper than that and describe the root system that's actually nurturing that tree and allowing it to be a living organism. And Berkman calls that our needs. These motivational needs are what makes Berkman, I think, survive 71 years. And now we're going to head into our 72nd pretty soon. Because we are the only ones that say you've got to understand the motivations at the deepest level. And these oftentimes are they're not seen easily by others unless they know the person really, really well. And sometimes, in many cases, they're a little bit of a surprise even to the individual. He or she may say, well, now I understand why I can, for example, in social energy, I can really love being around people all day. And once I leave the office, I really want my quiet, autonomous, independent time. I recharge by either being alone or being with just one or two people that I'm very, very comfortable with. And what we say is, good for you. That is absolutely the best way for you to manage yourself. So in that case, Berkman called that a high low, high usual with a lower need. We have 9 relational components that where people can show up in a whole variety of ways, and all this diversity works just fine. It's all normal. It's all natural. It just makes us who we are, and there's no need for anybody to ever worry about that, except when those needs go unmet, just like the roots of the tree in a drought, then we start feeling certain degrees of stress. And the longer this deprivation happens, clearly, the more stress we're going to feel. And so Berkman says, if you understand what your needs are, and those include interests as well, you are going to be a happier, better, more effective version of your natural self. But that's what awareness is, Zach. It's not just self-awareness. It's social awareness. It's awareness of others. In addition, the ones we live with, the ones we work with day to day.
You know, I appreciate that. Just kind of like level setting in context. You know, as I think about identity, and I think about, you know, I recall, and I don't have my Berkman in front of me, like my chart. But what I think about when I was being Berkman certified, mm-hmm. going through the course, and I recall, again, this was like a decade ago, but I recall at that time, like, you know, for me, because I was a first generation, really like kind of corporate professional, mm-hmm. I had real anxieties about, you know, not necessarily measuring up and being one of the onlys in a space, because I want to say actually at that time, besides Carmen, I was the only other Black person on that entire floor, because we were in the corporate office. I guess I'm curious about, as you think about like the concept of needs and like what you need to be successful in life, and against this Berkman model, do you see points of commonality for people who are of the minority, and meaning like, you know, they might be first generation professionals or first generation Americans in the corporate space.
Yeah, sure. I'm going to answer that in two parts. One, when you look at a Berkman profile summary that has all the different percentages and scores on it, the way we show it now, you cannot tell male, female, old, young, Black, white, brown. There's no suggestion that we're not seeing any commonality. So it's just a human being, and sure. they're all over the map. But when we look at our different international cultures, what stands out there, and this is something I really appreciate, is that we see the same trends, whether that person lives in Middle East, Europe, Australia, South, North America, Canada, what we see in terms of human behavioral patterns is parallel. So one country might be a little bit percentage point or two higher in a certain trait, but the pattern of whether we expect the majority to answer in a certain way, the pattern stays identical. And that's what I think at the end of the day, as Maya Angelou said so brilliantly, we're all more alike than we are different. But those differences are really critical to society. They're critical to us being able to function in a company, in a team. We need those differences to survive. And yet it's interesting how much when you get into the research, there aren't the differences you might expect at the Berkman level.
This podcast, Living Corporate, it's brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with the audience, and sell anything from products to content to time, all in one place on your terms. Let me tell you something. Y'all might not know this, but Living Corporate, we started our whole journey on Squarespace. My website, ZacharyNunn.com, it's on Squarespace. I can't tell you how much I appreciate its fluid engine, the ability to create world-class templates and design. It's very intuitive, incredible. We have custom merch through our Squarespace. We have an incredible asset library so I can always mix it up, switch and swap. It's super dope. And the fact that you can host all types of content, video, audio, all types of media, you can put all on your Squarespace. I can't recommend it enough. If you want to learn more about Squarespace, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/corporate to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Again, that's squarespace.com/corporate to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. It's interesting because as I think about, like, I'm always curious about, like, you know, these like workplace personality tests mm-hmm. and things of nature, mainly because I believe they can be a really strong point of inform in how you manage talent. Right. And so what I'm curious about is, like, where would you envision Berkman, like a Berkman study, or, you know, it, how would you see that or envision that being paired with an organization's goal to be more inclusive and equitable and how they manage their teams?
Well, I think the way I look at it is when you invest in development of the employee, and that includes being able to give them the advantage of the Berkman information and also enhance the relationships between colleagues and teams and supervisor and direct reports. When you're doing those things, you're saying, I care about my people and I value them. And you know what you mentioned a minute ago, you said, I was worried if I'd measure up. I have to tell you, that has nothing to do with skin pigment. That I think that's a very normal thing, whether people admit it or not. Now, it's made, to your point, I think it's made more difficult when you have to walk into a situation where you feel like you are in the minority. I've been, not so much as it right now, I feel like many of the things that I walk into it in terms of meetings, there's a pretty good balance of male, female people at the boardroom table. But when I started in this, in my role in the early 2000s, very often I'd be the only female in the room, or, you know, there are two of us and then there'd be 40 males. And so I do relate to what you're talking about, but I think if truth be told, if you got all of them to be honest with you, everybody shares that. Am I good enough? Can I measure up? You know, the old imposter syndrome thing actually is not gone.
Right, right. No, I 100% agree that, you know, most folks struggle with like deep insecurities about being mm-hmm. accepted or not. I think my challenge to that would be that Black and brown folks typically face
even more
pointed pressure mm-hmm. To make sure that they actually do belong, right? Like there's
exactly
this,
you know, and shame on us as a nation that this has been allowed to persist for way too long, and there, in my view, and I'm not meaning to be political, but I do believe that systemic racism has been an issue, and probably not just here, but certainly has been in the history of U.S. And my hope is that we're learning better now. And I wish we were further down the road, to be honest, Zach, but that's why I think Berkman, that, you know, we're trying to expand people's perception of what diversity really is. And of course, equity always matters. And if anything, I would say for a company, if anything could aid and enhance the feeling of being included, it would be showing people how they can be less judgmental. And I'm talking about like personality wise, sure, that in a meeting. Okay, here's a story, true story. Years ago, I was standing in a line in New York City. And when I got, it was to speak with a person who had been the speaker. And when I got ready to introduce myself, the person behind me heard me say Berkman. Mm-hmm. And she said, "Oh, are you Berkman from that personality test?" And when she said that, I yeah, you know, I wasn't quite sure whether she liked it or was upset. Mm-hmm. But we got into a little conversation and she said, "Excuse me, I just want you to know that in my company," and this was in Manhattan, by the way, mm-hmm, we did a team building with a consultant and we used the Berkman. And in my office, there was a lady that I had to work with every day, but she drove me crazy. And I really thought she just got up in the morning and came to work to get on my bad side. And she said, after we did the Berkman, I realized that actually I understood where her strengths were, where she was coming from, and that the role she had was beneficial to the team. And so we eventually ended up gradually getting those barriers came down. She became someone that I could even relate to. And sometimes we even have lunch together now. And I thought she was my sworn enemy before we did the Berkman. So I think that to me is about inclusion. If once you can put the judgment aside and say, wait a minute, this is why that human being is so valuable and why I have these strengths, they have those complementary strengths, but we all contribute to the whole. And so if anything in my brain spells an effort toward more inclusivity, it's being more compassionate about our various different interests, different needs, and the different ways we really do add value to any organization. And that's the corporate side of Berkman, but it's also the human side.
You know, to that end, right, like I think about this, the future of work, and I think about, you know, Gen Zers. I'm millennial. People keep on, I've said this to a few folks, Sharon, is that people continue to talk about millennials as if millennials are like, you know, like the youngest group, but like millennials are turning 40, you know? So like, really,
you know, there's Gen Z now, Zach.
That's what I was saying, right? Like, yeah. And so we talk about Gen Z, and that's really more so like my siblings. Like my siblings are in their early 20s, but they're Gen Zers who are, you know, 1 or 2 years into their careers. I'm curious, as you think about Berkman and its future, right? You talked about the fact that it's been around for over 70 years, and you're coming, you know, mm-hmm, 71 years, coming up on 72. You think about Berkman, like between now and like 2030, as this new generation of work comes into the workplace. What is your vision, or you know, what role do you see it playing as, you know, leadership organizations facing probably the most politically engaged, racially diverse, and most diverse from a sexual orientation perspective? Like, you know, what do you think about that in terms of the role that Berkman can play to drive or to help support inclusion and development and transition?
Yes, I don't know specifically how we do that, but in a general sense, I would say it again, kind of circling back to the inclusivity that can be nurtured and enhanced when we better understand self and others, because we're hopefully going to be less defensive, less judgmental. And I would say compassionate understanding. I don't know if you'd heard this already, Zach, but the original name for the Berkman method that my dad had, he called it a test of social comprehension. And you know, the other day, a while back, I was thinking about that the word to comprehend means to understand. And so really, it's about how well can we promote a much more appreciative, inclusive, compassionate understanding of the people we live with, the people we work with, the people that make society a better place to live in. And that would be my dream. What's really, you know, not much has changed over the years in terms of the questionnaire, relatively little. But what has changed radically over the years is technology. So, you know, that was something my dad always is a visionary. He wasn't an engineer, but he was he could foresee and was a visionary in terms of knowing that, for example, in the 60s, he was the first to put Berkman on a mainframe IBM. And he almost got kicked out of the American Psychological Association. They were concerned. They said, you know, Roger, you're putting information about people on a machine, and we don't think that's appropriate. So, of course, you know, fast forward now to 2010, and we were the first it was earlier than that. We went on the internet in 2001. And now we're looking at a platform, and we're looking at, you know, we can use everything that technology provides to all companies to really expand the ease of understanding Berkman and receiving the information. So, yeah, we've changed some cosmetic things, you know, graphics and such. Questionnaire covers have changed, and mostly the most dramatic has been what technology has enabled. And I, you know, we're working on an app now called Meeting EQ. So it's if you can walk into a meeting and pull up several things that would be useful for you to remember before I go into my meeting with Zach, I need to remember these three things, you know. So that's in process at the moment.
That's really exciting. You know, as I think about Berkman and tools like it, but really like speaking on Berkman for this conversation is I think about the power of insight, right? Like being able to understand the why behind people's what, understanding, you know, the types of environments they need to be successful. You know, there's a lot of conversations around the future of work and working from home versus working in office. And,
you know, what are your thoughts on that, Zach?
What am I
now that we're trying to get out of COVID days?
Well, you know, so here's the thing. I think all this technology has to, it has to account for something. I think that we should be able to provide flexibility. If there are people who are extremely, what do we talk about? What you need, right? So there are people who, based on what they need in-person interaction. Mm-hmm. And they need the socialization of and human proximity. They need that. They need that to be, yes, to function.
To be motivated and energized.
And so so in the spirit of inclusion, I believe those people should be empowered to have an environment that allows them to get that. And I think especially if their job naturally calls for those things. And again, in the spirit of inclusion, I believe that, you know, if there are folks like me, for example, Sharon, I can go really long without having to be in person with anybody. I love my family. I have, you and I talked about off mic, I have a 2-year-old.
Yeah, but you have lower social energy needs, which means that you can enjoy that independent time with just a few people. Special people.
You got it. And it's very special to me. I very much so appreciate it. So what I don't think is that it's a one size fit all. I'll say it simply. I believe that remote work, not work from home, because people can work from all sorts of places. I think remote work is here to stay. I think it's imperative that organizations continue to leverage their technology and be innovative and creative in how they do their work. And I think it's important to provide options for those who have higher socialization needs and who get their energy, to your point, from a bunch of different people.
Right. Actually, now what we can do, Zach, is look at a person's Berkman profile and make some pretty useful deductions about who's going to be able to be very productive and more than effective working remotely, and who really is going to choose that they can be more effective if they come into the office. If we look at our Berkman map, the people on the right side of the map, call it the east side, they really, to do collaborative work, to brainstorm in a team setting, bounce ideas off each other, the human connection, at least during the workday, can be very valuable, at least part of the time.
Sure.
The people that are on the task-oriented side, in our case, if we use our colors, the red, yellow, very often, if they're doing coding, if they're doing accounting, they need the focus. And if they're disciplined and have a good remote setting, they can be 100% effective remotely. And so I think you're exactly right. I think remote is here to stay. And we, you know, we certainly see we've had hybrid in place now since the middle of 21, and it's working just fine. And we have, but we have certain days and certain times that people do gather in the office. And then those who thrive on the remote work do that a little more often. And the ones that choose to come in the office have that option anytime they want.
Well, I think here's the other piece, though. I would imagine in environments where leadership, there's a higher trust quotient,
mm-hmm.
that flexibility around remote and hybrid working is going to be higher. Whereas, yeah. like, if we're in a really controlling, I can use a bunch of other words, but for the sake of this yeah. conversation, I'll say controlling environment with low levels of autonomy or, like, you know, respect to innovation and things of that nature. And it's really more about, like, I'm just telling you what to do. I would imagine, you know, you want, they are more resistant to that. I mean, I think we saw recently there was, like, a CEO, huge banking organization, who was tracking mm-hmm. Zoom meetings on Fridays and people checking in or they're, like, scanning out with their badges on Fridays and saying that people need to be in more meetings, need to be working more. People are slacking off and we're laying people off. It's like, okay, well, you know, like, that's just, and I had a whole conversation with somebody who was like a younger baby boomer. And I said, mm-hmm. hey, I said, this is, they were like, yeah, the age, these slackers are about to get let go. And I said, that is not, I recognize you feel that way. That is not reflective of this future of work. If you think that Gen Zers are going to want to be sitting in front of a desk for 7 to 10 hours a day downtown where they have to spend $60 or whatever on gas,
mm-hmm.
you're delusional. Like you have a different yeah. and frankly yeah. Incorrect interpretation of what's happening right now. You know what I mean?
True. Yeah. Yeah. And I think if you're a good manager and you're checking in, whether it's remote or in person, you can track the productivity, you know, if you're managing well.
Correct.
And if you're managing well, there is no reason why you can't either be hybrid, remote, or in person, if that is what you prefer. But one of the things that happened for us in COVID is that we, just like you came to the office in person years ago, 2014, yes. because all of our certifications were in person. By 2017, we had moved to 8 hours of pre-work, which people did online before they came. So I would call it a hybrid training. 8 hours of pre-work remotely. It could be spread out over 30 days or more. And then they would come for what I called a 3-day intensive in the classroom, where they did exercises and learned from other people as well to go deeper with Berkman more rapidly because they'd done all their pre-work.
Yes.
And they'd learned terminology ahead of time.
Yes.
That actually really did improve their ability to get better and deeper in 3 days with Berkman in the intensive. And then they go home and they would, you know, be able to do their feedback conversations and practice and take a little quiz, and we stamp them certified. Well, along comes the pandemic. We could no longer do any classroom whatsoever. And so our head of training, within about 5 weeks or so, was able to pivot to an online version of certification. which was pretty radical for us because, I mean, here we've been around all these years and we'd always, the certifications started, I think in the early 70s, we started certifying other people to do Berkman besides just the staff at Berkman. And now we're trying to do this online. So the online version takes 5 days and you have to be pretty, they've really pretty much mastered a virtual training, I think. Oh, they have. They've done really well. And some people just can never travel and they never get certified unless they could do it remotely. And then last week we had 18 people in the office getting certified. And a few of them said, well, I wanted to wait because I prefer to do the in-person. The great thing in today's world is that we have choices. You know, some do better with virtual, some do better in the classroom. And guess what? That's part of diversity. Yeah. And so for us at Berkman, the more inclusive approach is to offer both.
I love it. I recall, and even though I've not kept doing my certification, what I will say, Sharon, is what I appreciated about Berkman at that time, because I remember I was really trying to figure out, okay, what is it that I need? Because Carmen and I would have ongoing conversations about, hey, like, what is the environment that's good for you? How do you behave? Like, how are you operating and performing under high stress? And then how do you perform when you're actually getting the things that you need? And she was very encouraging. And so it was a really great, like, personal, almost like self-discovery tool.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what it's intended to be. And I love that you use the word discovery, because that's when the light bulbs go off, when our best moments, when we sit down, and now we call it a conversation rather than a feedback, because it's not a performance review. It's when I sit down and walk a person through their Berkman, what we call now the signature report, which is a good starting point to just kind of give a quick overview of the five different dimensions of the person's Berkman report. It can't cover all the bases, but it's a great place to start. And so we show them the Berkman map, the you are here, just it's broad, but it gets them oriented. And then we talk about how they show up, their usual behavior. It's always positive. What they need to stay recharged, those motivating underlying needs. And those, again, that's really the secret sauce of the Berkman, a dad would say. That's he called it the Coca-Cola formula. That's the part that makes Berkman really special. And then how we could show up if we do get pulled into stress, which, you know, life is not easy. I think we're all human. We all have our days that we experience stress. And that is like, for me, that's the warning light that comes up on the car dashboard when you need gas or you need to check tire pressure or check your engine, the check engine light. When that comes on, what do? We pull over and we take care of the car. We need to do the same thing for ourselves as humans, because we're infinitely more intelligent and more complex than an automobile. And then finally, the last part is the career part, where we've now validated. We take all of the above, the interests, the usual need, and the needs, all the 298 questions that you answer, the simple questions you fill in on the Berkman questionnaire. And we mix all that together. And what comes out is your top six matches to the U.S. Department of Labor Occupational Outlook website. Each job family is pretty ginormous and inclusive of many things, but they do fall into certain kinds of categories of careers. And so the final part of the Berkman for the person after they've done usual needs, stress, and interest is to see, what do I look like in terms of my career matches? So whether you're a student in college or high school going to college, college going to a job, job going through a career path in the organization, that's where looking at these job family matches can be so helpful. I was curious, because you mentioned that you're not still certified, you can be re-upped. But I wondered if you had seen the signature report that we released in 2016.
I had not. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I need to walk you through that, Zach. You know, when it's a good time for you, let's set a time and do that.
I want to do that. I very much so want to do that because, one, you know, we had talked offline about even just like the different ways, like just the intersection of identity and Berkman and how this can just support inclusion in the workplace and better team and more inclusive teaming and leadership. But you had talked a little bit about the neurodiversity report that Berkman had developed.
Yes, that basically, if a person wants to add that on, it doesn't come in the signature report, but it can be an add-on report. And what it will specifically say is, you know, if you're on the autism spectrum, or the spectrum for dyslexia, Tourette's, or dyscalculia, or something like that. Anyway, it's a rare one, but it's there. That's included in the ND report. Probably the thing we're seeing the most of right now is people that have been diagnosed on the autism spectrum that want to take their Berkman report and go a step further by how do I, if I'm the employer of a person who's been diagnosed, because we don't diagnose, we just take people, you know, and say, here's something useful for you to read if you've already been diagnosed. But it could be for the person themselves, or it could be for their employer to do a better job of understanding how to set that person up for success. You know, the term that they use in the neurodiverse community is accommodations, but we would just say, we call it empowering the person to be more successful in the corporate world. And I think we do empower people, Zach, when we honor the way they are uniquely wired, because, you know, we don't really see two Berkman. Even if some of the Berkman reporting on two individuals happens to look rather similar, fact is they wear it differently, and they are going to be entirely different human beings with their own story, their own context, and their own life goals. And so all of that's, you have to put all of that data into a helpful context. And that's what our Berkman consultants are trained to do, is to try to help appreciate a person in a very scientifically validated way. But, you know, if the end of the day, what I love about doing a Berkman conversation is affirming how each of their traits and diverse interests is their superpower. That's what makes people, it's so easy to appreciate people when you have that understanding. And if you understand, it's much easier to be inclusive, right?
Absolutely it is. Yeah.
It's a requirement.
It is. Sharon, look, we could talk all day. I appreciate you for being on the show. I'm excited about Berkman and all the work that y'all continue to do to not only help folks understand one another, but help folks understand themselves. Mm. Before I let you go, are there any parting words you have for us?
Oh, I think the main thing that I would urge people to do is be compassionate toward themselves and others, because, you know, being a complex human being is wonderful, and it's also not always so straightforward and easy for us to understand one another. But when we stop and take the time to see each other as uniquely wonderful humans, the world is a better place to live in.
I love it. I love it. Sharon Berkman, your friend of the show. I look forward to us connecting after some major events this
Yeah, that's this right. So please do, Zach. I look forward to more conversations with you.
No doubt. Talk to you later.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye. Yo, thank you so much for hanging out with us this week on Living Corporate. Make sure that you check our content out on living-corporate, please say the dash.com. You can see our entire network of shows. We have all types of content that we've been publishing that's all focused on Black and Brown folks at work, different lenses, mental health, career development, executive leadership, right, wellness, freedom, all types of different lenses, but it's all focused on historically marginalized, oppressed, exploited, underinvested, disinvested people. That's what we're here for. So also click the link in the show notes. Make sure you check out our merch. Cop a hoodie. It's getting cool. Oh no, it's not getting cool. It's not getting cool. I don't know. Depends on where you at. It's always some, you know what I'm saying? I'm in Houston, right? So it's never really cool. You know what I mean? It's always wet and warm or hot and humid. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. But I'm sure it's hoodie season somewhere. So make sure you go on the website. If you don't want to cop a hoodie, cop a tank top. You know what I'm saying? Cop a mask. You know what I'm saying? Still wear a mask. Look, come on now. The pandemic is still a pandemic. And I know y'all don't want to act like it is. But people still getting sick out here. Trust me. I got coworkers. I got friends. All right. Be careful. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you get familiar. You know what I'm saying? Take care of yourself. And look, until next time, this has been Zach. Thank you so much for rocking with Living Corporate. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Living Corporate is a podcast by Living Corporate LLC. Our logo was designed by David Dawkins. Our theme music was produced by Ken Brown. Additional music production by Antoine Franklin for Musical Elevation. Post-production is handled by Jeremy Jackson. Got a topic suggestion? Email us at livingcorporatepodcast@gmail.com. You can find us online on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and living-corporate.com. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned.